Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Jim Blasingame, he's the cyber king of small business. Search Google for small business expert, and he's tops on the list.
I guess that makes you number one.
He's number one on Google and number one in our hearts.
Aww.
He's Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate.
Welcome back, 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for staying with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you, as always. Very excited about having Richard DeKayser back on the show. And Richard's been a member of our Brain Trust for now for a long time, one of the top economists in the country, and including an honor that he received that honor just a few years ago from, I think it was USA Today bestowed that upon him. He is the president of Woodley Park Research. Not recently, but not too long ago, shucking the corporate mantle and moving out on his own like you and me, living by his wits out here in the marketplace, making his way in the marketplace. And he still stayed with us. He's still our good friend and a great member of our Brain Trust. And he's here to talk to us about the economy. Richard DeKayser, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim. It's good to be here.
It's good to have you back, as always. Richard, I haven't said this before on the show, and I try to report what's going on, and I try not to put, if it's really, really negative, I try not to, you know, just jump in with both feet and you know, say woe is me, even if I'm feeling a little bit that way. But I do believe in my lifetime, in my long lifetime, there's never been another time where I look around and I saw as many potential landmines for the global economy as we have right now. And when I look at those, I do see a lot of toxins that have to be absorbed back into the market, into society, into the marketplace, into our economies. And I do believe that that can happen, but it won't happen without some medicine being taken. Some people call it haircuts. And I believe that human beings can do that. I know Americans can do that. I'm not worried about that. I'm not worried about the marketplace. I'm not worried about the ability of entrepreneurs to step up to the task and do the work that has to be done. I'm worried about the leadership. If our leaders have the intestinal fortitude, the courage to do the right thing and to make sure that we stand here on maybe a precipice. I think you and I were talking about this earlier, a precipice, and, you know, looking over. And we can go one way or the other. I guess you could also call it a tipping point. What do you think?
Well, I absolutely agree. I think we're looking into the abyss, and the abyss has come to us as a consequence of excess. We've been living on credit cards for a very long time, and those chickens are coming home to roost. We're going to have to make some decisions, and if we don't, the consequences could be very adverse. But as you said yourself, it could go the other way. And let me give you what I think is one really critical benchmark on this. The President and Congress have created a debt commission to present solutions, long-term solutions, to the fact that we've been spending more than we've been taking in, that is, that our government has.
Led by Erskine Bowles and Alan Simpson, I think.
Absolutely.
Are the two notable chairmen, so to speak.
Very respectable moderates.
Both of them.
Who I believe are motivated to do the right thing, but know.
Yep.
That the odds are very long. And they're going to put out a report on December 1st, or at least are mandated to do so. And we'll see what we do. If we continue to make a lot of noise and wave our arms around but don't do anything, then I think we get even closer to the worst outcomes. On the other hand, you know, if we actually take some meaningful action, I think we can step back and get control of our future and begin to see all these risks diminish rather than grow. So I agree. We're in a very, very risky place, but I think sometimes it takes for a political action to occur. It takes those kinds of risks. Politicians don't often respond to the right policy actions unless they can sort of point to this impending disaster, and that sometimes motivates folks to do the right thing.
There's some really, really, really ugly stuff playing out, not only having happened, like in Greece, and starting a little bit in Spain right now, but down the road, over the next several quarters, there's some ugly, ugly stuff about to happen in Europe. The euro is under pressure. the currency, that currency experiment. I mean, some people are writing the obituary for the euro just in case. Right. They're writing the obituary for the eurozone.
Right.
That thing is in default. All it takes is one company to blink. The Germans decide that they can't stand it anymore. They want their Deutschmark back. Anything like that. It doesn't even have to be Germany. It could be a smaller country. So we've got all that over there. The question in my mind, as ugly as that is, though, Richard, isn't Europe a great thing? Couldn't that be almost a benefit to Americans to get our attention to realize that if we don't want to look like that, we better do something pretty quickly. And
in fact, you've been seeing talk to exactly that effect.
Let me let you answer that question when we come back after these messages. Folks, we're going to pick right up on that point when we come back. 20 till. Don't go away.
On the wire, just to catch my breath.
The late great Marvin Gaye, ladies and gentlemen, that's actually a cover from Gladys Knight and the Pips, who did that song before him. If you might not know that, you gotta go back into the Wayback Machine to find that information out. Welcome back, 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks for hanging out with us. Richard DeKayser is our guest, president of Woodley Park Research. Richard, tell us how we can find you online.
Oh, very simple, woodleyparkresearch.com, www, of course.
Yep. And what do we find when we get there?
Well, you'll find a little bit telling about the company itself. We do economic research. We're a consultancy. We serve mostly financial sector firms, mostly hedge funds out of New York, but specialize on the economy, specifically the housing market and the intersection of all that with financial markets.
Right. So check that out, folks. WoodleyParkResearch.com, right?
Bingo.
All right. When we went to the break, I was asking you about the Eurozone and how much of a canary in the mine shaft, even as ugly as it is over there, isn't things being that bad really the kind of wake-up call America, not only America, but Americans, the people out on Main Street, that we need to look at, we need to know about, so that we know what kind of medicine we need to take so we don't turn out like them?
Well, I think it is. I think it's a good case study for where America could end up. And, you know, turning to the point we mentioned earlier, there are some opportunities to come to grips with that. The Debt Commission reporting this year, I think, is the greatest opportunity, but whether we seize the opportunity remains unclear. But also, I want to emphasize, this has implications not just for us here in the States, but for Europe itself. And Europe, like America, has been whistling past the graveyard for a long time.
With regard to deficits and debt.
Absolutely. And, yep. and the way their whole monetary union is structured, I mean, basically, they say we have to have one monetary policy in Europe, but we can have different fiscal policies. And they attempted to reconcile that discrepancy by saying, okay, well, there will be rules. You can't have deficits over 3% of GDP. You can't
right.
have debt. And there were no enforcement.
They didn't enforce it at all, did they?
Not at all.
Greece, when they allowed Greece into the Eurozone, they weren't even compliant at that moment.
No, they were not. And, you know, Italy was a case where they have debt to GDP of 100%. It's supposed to be moving down every year. It never has. So, you know, again, opportunity and crisis. If one outcome is they simply fragment the euro and people go back to drachmas and liras and so on and so forth, and that's one path that they could take. The other path they could take is they could enforce this lack of discipline by imposing stricter rules. And we're at that crossroads right now, I think. 12 months from now, it'll be clearly decided as to which of those outcomes is going to occur. But again, there was an economist who once said, unsustainable trends have a tendency to stop. And you can't simply go in these directions interminably, and we're approaching that terminus.
Well, see, this is the thing that, you know, for I don't know how many years, 20 years, certain friends of mine have pointed to Europe as a wonderful system, a wonderful economic, socioeconomic system. Everybody's happy over there. They've all got all the health care they can eat. Everybody, you know, they got jobs, blah, blah, blah. And I've always said, wait a minute. This is socialism has encroached on the marketplace. And all that free stuff cannot be sustained. I've written so many articles over the years about the tax system whenever I've traveled over there, Richard, and I've identified all the different layers of tax. I said, this cannot be sustained forever. This has to come, as you said, the chickens have to come home to the roost. That's what's happening right now. But Richard, in America, we can't say, oh, there but for the grace of God go I, because we are them. If we don't change, it's not like, well, let's don't do that, any of the stuff they're doing. We're already doing the stuff they've been doing with regard to deficits and debt. Are we not?
Amen. Amen.
We don't have as much of the socialism. I mean, you and I can hire and fire and et cetera, but in terms of the government's policies, we're right. already doing stuff, what they're doing.
Well, you know, there's two issues. One is the extent to which government is involved in the economy, and clearly that is far, far greater the case in Europe. They have, as you know, nationalized health care and so on and so forth. The second issue is simply deficit spending, which you can do regardless of your economic system. You could be a centrally planned economy, a market planned economy, somewhere in between. At the end of the day, you cannot have deficits running forever. So we've got both issues at play, the second being far more important here in the U.S., that is, there are just deficits running out of control. But again, as I said, markets are harsh disciplinarians. They tend not to tolerate these things, even if they do in the short run, not over the long run. So the forces that are coming to bear now could either lead us to a very dire outcome or force the kind of corrections that bring things into greater harmony. Now, for example, you know what we saw just in the past 2 weeks, Spain increased its retirement age a decade. Greece increased its retirement age a decade.
And people rioted in the streets.
You bet. That's not surprising.
Where do they think this money's coming from?
Well, but my point is, the changes, and there's more to come, but the changes have been made. So these excesses are being trimmed. And, if they're trimmed sufficiently, we'll begin to right these wrongs.
So these people, instead of retiring at 53, they might actually have to work to 63. Bless their hearts. How will they live, Richard? As my wife says, sarcasm is my second language.
And as my wife says, if you enjoy what you do, you never work a day in your life.
That's exactly right. It's folks here in America, we have to look over there and say to ourselves, okay, that's not what we want. We are headed in that direction if we don't change our behavior. And we have to make sure that we elect the kind of leaders who actually demonstrate leadership, who don't tell us what we want to hear, but who set the policies in place that will prevent us from turning into Europe. Quick break, 10 till. Richard DeKayser is our guest. We'll be right back.
Way back when, in 67, I was a dandy, yeah, my kind.
As the Eurozone goes there, so goes the global economy. Could it be that bad?
No, I don't think so. I mean, there's other problems out there which also concern me, and China's among them. But I don't think Europe zone is typical of what's happening, nor has it got the heft to bring the rest of the world down.
So I'm glad to hear you say that. I've been concerned about that, and I think you're right, but I've been concerned about it.
Well, let me just give you, what we've seen over the past year or so is that the Eurozone, defined in its broadest possible way, is accounting for about a fifth of the world economic output, which is appreciable. But what we're simultaneously seeing is that, again, in emerging markets, for example, which are collectively as large, we're seeing growth rates that are 2 to 3 times greater than we're seeing in the Eurozone.
Right. So, the BRIC countries and India.
Absolutely. I mean, we're going back to the 1980s in many respects with very, very strong growth in those parts of the world. And interestingly, Jim, they're doing the opposite of what we've been talking about. These are countries where savings rates are high,
right.
Deficits for the most part, not across the board, but for the most part, are small relative to their overall economy. So it's a specter haunting us, but there are other stories out there which are more favorable that I think can help cushion any kind of adverse developments in Europe.
Well, talk to us about the U.S. economy. Are we on a real recovery? Are we fooling ourselves? What do you think?
Well, I think we're on a real recovery. I remember you, I, remember so well. I think you thought I was overly optimistic when we spoke probably 6 months ago, and I was calling for 3% plus GDP.
I said from your mouth to God's ears. I thought that was my exact term, my exact response.
Nonetheless, yeah, I think it is sustainable. We've been seeing solid growth, north of 3% in real GDP terms for over 6 months now, close to 9 months. And to be sure, part of that has been stimulus related, exactly what we've been talking about, mm-hmm. spending money we don't have, and that can't be sustained. But part of it is, most of it really is fundamentally driven. What I mean by that is when you have a recession, typically a lot of things are postponed. Businesses stop buying equipment and software and
right.
construction. People stop buying cars. But we went through a whopper of that.
Mm-hmm.
We've been selling automobiles at a rate below the replacement requirements for
a couple of years at least.
Yeah, exactly, 2 years. So there's a lot of latent demand for some catching up to do. And importantly, we're now seeing the wherewithal to do that. Corporate profits have posted a spectacular recovery. And even people's incomes are starting to improve. And certainly their wealth has. We've
But Richard, our economy moves on the fuel of credit.
Yeah, oh
is
yeah,
that,
yeah, yeah.
Is that improving?
Short answer, yes, but let me elaborate. And you're absolutely right. Credit is absolutely critical. The banks have been hurting. They haven't been lending, and that's been hurting the whole economy, especially small businesses.
Yep.
The Federal Reserve does a survey every 3 months, and they ask the banks, you know, are you easing up or are you tightening up on credit to small businesses, big businesses, individuals, and so on and so forth. After a two-and-a-half-year run of tightening, their latest survey in April actually showed, for the first time, easing.
Yeah.
Now, the relationship here is that when assets are rising, so talk about the stock market, talk about house prices, that mm-hmm. encourages them to lend, and it's a vicious cycle on the way down. Falling asset values mean less lending, but it works in reverse, too. In my view, we have begun to see the reversal process. So even though credit is tight, and there's no disputing that, credit still remains tight, especially for small businesses, it's going in the right direction, and in my opinion, it's going to continue to
but
go that direction.
The recovery is still going to be a marathon recovery, right? It's not going to be a sprint.
No, it absolutely.
It's going to play out over years, not months.
Sure. If you go back 50, 60 years, you look at economic recoveries, we do 6, maybe 7% GDP growth in the first year. In my view, we're going to do about half that. So it's not your V, as some characterize it, but nonetheless.
At least we like the trend.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Thank you, Richard, for being here. Good job today. I feel better now.
I hope I swayed you.
I feel much better now. Thank you, Richard. Richard DeCaso, ladies and gentlemen. Woodley Park Research. Put a .com on the end. You'll find him there. He'll be back, I promise. I will be, too, in the next hour. I'm Jim Blassingame. In the meantime, remember, when opportunity knocks, it doesn't know you've had a bad day. Greet it with a smile.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.